Blog Talk Radio.
Hello again. This is Dr. Gary Penn, and welcome to my podcast. Oh, excuse me for a moment. I'm a little bit out of breath. So I can't lie, I got to catch my breath. Welcome to the podcast. It's been a while since I have reached out to you. And as always, I thank you for listening. 2015 is a great year. It's going to be a great year. It's a stressful year for a lot of people. The world seems like it's falling apart, and sometimes we get stuck. Sometimes we get anxious. Sometimes we get depressed. And, so you have all the macro stuff, which I love. I love psychology and the macro world. But it's the micro world, the world we live in, where we live in most of the time. Everything else is, how you would solve the world's problems, how I would solve the world's problems are just so theoretical. And then we have, how do I solve the problem of, the Middle East if I'm arguing with my spouse all the time, or I'm arguing with my parents, or I'm always in a state of agitation, and yet I'm sitting here pontificating about, well, really, let me tell you how to solve the issue of what's happening in the world and all these things. So, if we really understand how things happen, why things happen, it gives us a lot of tools of understanding the world on a more global basis as well. So I think it's been a natural progression for me, although I've been a political junkie. I just find it so fascinating. But then again, when I was, I'm being tangential, so those of you who need to go get a cup of coffee, get a cup of coffee. But I've always loved, since I was a little boy, watching televangelists on television, right? I used to love that, because it's so psychological. I've watched Catherine Coleman and Ernest Angley and Reverend Ike. And it's not because I was, some person who was a religious person, but it was just so fascinating, the psychology of it. And it's all psychology, it's just all psychology. So when we understand these things, it's all about becoming aware, seeing the world in a way that is not so muddled with our past and our prejudices, not necessarily in a vitriolic way or this really hateful way. Sometimes we just have prejudices that, women won't understand me, or men are, distant and, aloof, or women are distant and aloof, and or whatever that may be. So we get to that place. So we have prejudices, and we have all these things, and we grow up in an environment, and we're told certain things, right? Where we're told or we're shown certain things that, if my father never was in the stands for my baseball game, or my mother was drunk, or things like this, I have a feeling that, no one's going to show up for me. Everyone's going to abandon me, and yet that I really need that. And then I get into a relationship, and someone's late to the restaurant, and I am so angry. So angry. I'm so angry, and I'm so frustrated. And so we bring to every moment of our day, we bring to every moment of our lives this idea of who we are, like who you are today, right? Who you are today, if you're 40 years old, well, you've lived, 40 years. And a lot of those experiences, and most of those experiences, have shaped how you understand the world and how you understand the people you are with, how you understand your mother or your father or... And then there's that part of it. And then, of course, there's the other part of it, which is the communication aspect of it. So we could feel certain things, think certain things, whether they're right or wrong, I don't know. But when someone accuses you of something, accuses me of something, how do I deal with that? And that's the part. So the arguing, When we're talking about why we argue, and of course, you know, I see that all the time when you have a job such as mine, where you work with people, men and women, and I see a lot of couples. I've taught couples therapy for a year. It's not just couples. I mean, it could be a couple like, you know, your mother and yourself, or not like necessarily a romantic couple, but it's or friends. It's such an interesting thing. It's the initial injury. Someone's hurt, someone's upset, someone's frustrated, and they'll communicate it fine. They may not communicate it in a good way. They may communicate whatever they're communicating in a negative way, right? In a way that is aggressive, in a way that's really, really tough, right? So that may not be great, but that's not necessarily an argument. If I say something to you like, "Why the hell were you 20 minutes late?" That's not necessarily an argument. Right? That's not necessarily an argument. The argument starts, I'm just being overwhelmed or desperate or injured or weak or aggressive. But it's just me, you know, spewing something out. It hasn't reached argument level yet, right? You say to someone, "You're such an asshole." Not an argument. We're not arguing yet, right? You're just calling me an asshole. No argument. The argument goes, you know, no wonder, you know, no wonder your last boyfriend left you. Okay, now. Or, God, you're so needy. 20 minutes late. You're sitting there and you're just like my mother. Right? So now we're into the argument, aren't we? Now, someone calls you an asshole. Who likes being called an asshole? And if you push back and you retaliated or you said something back, bro, I don't think anyone would sit there and convict you. Like, I can't believe you said something hurtful back. Yeah, you're allowed to. You have a license to. There's an opening. You know, when someone, you know, in boxing, if someone throws a left hook, you know, they leave themselves open to a right cross, right? So if I call you an asshole, you have a, you know, throw my left hook, and I land, my whole left side of my face is open for you to swing your right hand and connect as well. And fine, we're allowed to take that. But here's the thing. Why do you need to take it? Why do you need to feel that? Like what goes on for you? Will you feel a need to retaliate? Will you feel a need to push back? If you become conscious, if you think about it, you don't have to, do you? But there's a part of you that gets really self-righteous. You know, maybe you were someone called you names when you were a kid. I'm never going to do that again. Or maybe you said, I got to stand up for myself. I'm not going to be a pushover, or that hurt me so much. Or I just won't be talked to that way. I'm not saying, by the way, that if you don't, you know, like if you don't push back or retaliate, it doesn't mean that you accept that the person's calling you an asshole. It doesn't mean anything that the person, you know, doesn't say to you, "Why are you 20 minutes late? What's your problem?" And like that doesn't make it okay. But all I'm saying is that it's not an argument yet. Not an argument. It's the person that you're with saying something to you, showing you something about them, not necessarily about you. Right? So we argue because one of the core reasons that we argue is that when one person does something or says something tough, negative, painful or what have you, and let's say it's the worst thing ever, that it's undeserved or something, your reaction or someone's reaction, who where the fight goes to, is to engage. It's to engage in a very tough kind of way that is matching where they're at. Well, you're an asshole. No, you're an asshole. No, screw you. No, screw you. And it becomes that. Certainly in love relationships and intimate relationships, you know, we have all of the secret codes. We know how to hurt people. We know how to really injure them. And when we get into these ways, I don't know if you've ever been in one of those fights where you start to bring out the heavy artillery. You know where the soft spots are, where the weak spots are. It can get very ugly, can get very tough. So, fascinating. It's really interesting. So we argue because of the reaction. So someone says to me, you're such an asshole, right? Now, I don't like being called an asshole. Like, who likes being called an asshole? And I have an opportunity to retaliate if I want. But if I don't want to argue, I don't have to retaliate. You don't have to retaliate, right? What you do instead, what you could do, an option, right? An option would be, you're really angry with me. You're really furious. It seems like you want to hurt me. You want to hurt my feelings. What's going on? Right? Isn't that a possibility, right? I mean, if you think about it, that is a distinct possibility to say something like that. So that kind of situation is a conversation, not necessarily an easy conversation, but it's not an argument. When we instantly defend ourselves, I didn't do anything wrong. I don't know why you're so upset about it. It wasn't a big deal. I was only 15 minutes late. Like you're saying it's 20. I was only like 8 minutes late. Then the person is going to say, no, it wasn't 8 minutes late. It was 20 minutes late. Then, no, it was only 8 minutes late because, you know, I was here on time, but then I was parking. Well, then you should have called me. And then you're arguing, right? You're arguing about stuff. You're debating stuff. So it's a fascinating thing where a lot of people become instantly defensive, right? Instantly defensive. You're such an asshole. Don't talk to me that way. Screw you. You can't talk to me that way. And I'm not saying that's not, and sometimes, a very appropriate response. But I could talk to you any way I want to talk to you. Again, now you're arguing. It's an argument. It's an argument. And look, some arguments need to be had. You know, we know this. It's like a pimple, like a big zit that needs to be popped. We just need to get it all out. Right? Like you just got to go sit down on the toilet and take that dump. All right? Just got to get all the crap. Just, I get it. But aside from that, maybe once a year or once every 2 or 3 years, hopefully, where those things come out, most of the time, you're such an asshole. I don't have to say, well, you don't talk to me that way. How dare you? I can do that. It's fine. It's not a bad response. But if the person that, if it's my mother or my father or, you know, if it's historical and my father always called me an asshole, I'd say, you know what, Dad, I got to bounce. I can't hang out with you. This is just horrible. You're just a mean, vicious man. And I've tried other things. Fine. You can get away from that. But if this is your partner, your boyfriend, girlfriend, husband, wife, you know, what have you, you're such an asshole. I don't have to retaliate, do I? You don't have to retaliate. You could become curious, right? could become curious. Curious. Well, your what you can do is you could, like I said, say to the person, well, you're really angry with me. Right? You're really angry with me. And tell me why you think I'm an asshole. Right? So, well, because you did this. You did this. You made plans on Thursday night, and you didn't ask me. You just decided that you were going out with your friend, and you know that I wanted to go out with, you know, to have some time with you to by myself, and you decided to do it by yourself. Okay, fine. So that, now the person may have, this man or woman who, let's say, called me an asshole, may have a right, maybe, you know, may have a good point that they have, they're injured and they're upset for a good reason. They feel like maybe they have a point. Okay? So they tell you. Now, what do you do with that? Do you get defensive? Do you say, well, what about what you did last week? Or, I can't believe it, I just have, can't have any time for myself. All you want to do is just, you know, I one time I make plans with my friends, you're sitting there busting my chops over it. Like, you can all do that. It's easy. But how about, again, think it over for a moment. The person that you love, person that would give you a kidney if you needed it, is injured. Doesn't mean that you did anything wrong. You maybe could defend yourself well. Or maybe they have a point. Maybe you were afraid to really talk to this person, and so you just kind of, did it just to say, well, it's done. So if you don't feel a need to defend yourself, then you would say something along the lines of, you know, it's a fair point. I did make plans. I didn't ask you. I kind of knew what you would say, but that's not fair either. I just haven't seen somebody, and I should have asked you. And you have every right to be upset with me. Fine. You know, most of the time when I'm in an argument that drives, you know, it's because I feel crazy. You know, don't you ever feel crazy in an argument? Like, why won't the person just say, you know, yeah, it's a fair point. You're right. I could see why you would be upset. And then so much of the fury goes away. You may not be happy that your partner did that. You might need to talk about why, you know, the person feels afraid to talk to you. All that stuff is, but they're all conversations. So don't just think that the initial thing that comes forward is not the argument. The argument is the engagement, and then the re-engagement, and the engagement back, and the engagement back. That's when it becomes an argument. Even something as bad as, like, well, you're such an asshole, is not an argument. We're not arguing. You're just mad at me. Another reason why people argue, I'm being very kind of simplistic, this is good stuff, but I had this epiphany one day. I thought it was so smart, but it's really dopey. Is that, you know, one person wants to get the other person to do something that the other person doesn't want to do. And so people start to argue over that. I want to go see my mother on Sunday, and I want you to go with me. No, I don't want to go. I want to watch the game. No, why can't you do it another time? And so one person's trying to get me to do something that I don't want to do. And then you start arguing back and forth. And instead of, you know, if the person says, well, I want to watch football, you know, in my relationship, if my wife asks me to do something and she knows, I mean, we're friends and, you know, and we love each other, that yeah, I know, and she's so relaxed about so many things, which is really nice, that if she makes an ask of me, if she says, I really want you to go, then I'll go. I will go. But it's one of those things where there's not a lot of meaning to it. You know what I'm saying? Like, sometimes if I have abandonment issues and I'm going somewhere and my wife doesn't want to go, and then it reminds me of my dad never showing up, my mom never showing up, it takes on such great meaning. And so I start to escalate. Why can't you go? And then she'll start doing this, and then she'll get irritated, and it becomes nasty, and it becomes ugly because, I don't. Okay, we'll go. You don't need to go with me. I'm just going here, and I'll come back. It's not a big deal. But when things feel greater, feel more important, feel tougher, you try to get the other person to do something because it has so much meaning, has a lot of meaning for you. So all you could say is, "Well, I'm disappointed you can't go. It was important to me. I'm feeling a little distant from you, but do what you got to do." Is better. The conversation you would have later on is, "I'm feeling very disconnected and distant from you." And you could talk about that. The argument part of it, I'm just talking about the argument part of it, is when I try to get you to do something that you really don't want to do. Well, this is going to be a short podcast today, right? I just wanted to kind of woke up this morning and I kind of wanted to talk about arguing, relationships and arguing. It's fun, it's interesting. So that's it. I'm glad you tuned in. I think this was a great podcast, but that's just my narcissism coming forward. Share it with your friends. Tell people, listen, I know you guys are having trouble. Listen to this podcast. It pretty much explains it. Till next time. This is Dr. Gary Penn. That was so inelegant. Till next time, this is Dr. Gary Penn. Be well.